Welcome to this edition of Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around the district and from further afield. Coming up later, the Green Film Festival that's part of this year's St Albans Film Festival and the latest on campaigners' efforts to save Simon's Hide. Now here on Environment Matters, we've been covering the fight of Save Butterfly World to reopen the site owned by Breheny Civil Engineering in Chiswell Green. The campaigners' request to open negotiations with the site owners have all been rejected, even though the site has not been put to use since Butterfly World was closed. Now, whilst it was open, careful planting and a special maintenance regime created a meadow rich in species loved by butterflies and known as Miriam Rothschild Meadow. 26 species of butterflies, some that had previously been lost from Hertfordshire, were now seen in the meadow. And that special regime of maintenance stopped when Butterfly World closed, and now campaign group Save Butterfly World are concerned that all the hard work will have been wasted and the butterflies will be homeless. John Horsfield of Save Butterfly World explained more. John, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So what needs to be done to the Miriam Rothschild Meadow to ensure that the butterflies are able to live there?
Well, basically, Amanda, it needs good husbandry, which really means mowing it down, cutting it down properly, and ensuring that it is kept in a reasonable condition.
Okay.
I recently discussed the meadow with Clive Farrell, who was the founder of this Butterfly World project, and he feels that if the meadow doesn't get attention this year, it could well start to deteriorate.
Okay, that sounds quite sad. And of course, Clive is an expert in butterflies, isn't he? So he should know about this sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So have you asked the Breheny brothers if you can have access to maintain this meadow? I mean, what do they say?
Well, I think the whole situation is really quite unfortunate at the moment. We persuaded Clive Fowler to approach them to talk to them about having a meeting with us, and they basically came back and said they could see no point in doing it. Now, the other thing that's happened, which is quite serious, is that they have stopped Butterfly Conservation from carrying out their annual butterfly count.
Right, that's quite sad, isn't it? I mean, I suppose the point is, it is their land, and if ultimately it's going to be sold on perhaps to somewhere else, I suppose at that point all the maintenance might stop on the meadow. So, that's a point, isn't it?
I can see the point, but I think with ownership comes responsibility. And I don't think you can just allow an important conservation site just to die away if you neglect. Don't forget that back in November they told, I think it was the Hearts Advertiser, that they had no plans for this site and that no one had come forward offering them money. We've indicated to Clive Fowler that we would like to buy this land, but again we've heard nothing further from them, which is why we've got to a point where we feel we have to escalate our campaign.
Okay, so escalating your campaign, what are you planning to do now?
Well, we've been looking very hard at Breheny Construction. They are a highly successful privately owned engineering company. They have a strong environmental record. They've just finished a project for the RSPB, and they are members of a number of organisations like the Civil Engineering Body, and also they have an international standards organisation, 14001 accreditation, which indicates that they're an environmental friendly company.
Right.
Now, we are thinking of contacting ISO and saying, is it reasonable that this company keeps this standard when it's allowing property owned by them to deteriorate and die?
Yeah.
And I've already had a chat with the regional organiser in southern region of the Civil Engineering Authority, and he is a friend of John Breheny's and has promised to go and talk to him, but Okay. We haven't heard anything further on that one.
Okay, so you think that in order to conform with the standards for these organisations that they belong to, that actually they should allow you to maintain what is their land in an environmentally friendly way.
They should allow the land to be the site to be maintained, definitely.
Okay. So, is there anything that we can do to help at this point?
I think the only thing I could ask is that listeners might like to contact Breheny Construction. You can find them on the internet and just send them an email and say, what's going on. Why don't you follow your environmental principles?
Yeah.
I mean, we really have a nasty situation here of what I can only call double standards. I mean, the company that is very prominent in the environmental field, it works on a lot of sites, including some of special scientific interest. For a company like that to allow this meadow to die just shows a total disregard in the fact that what's on the website, frankly, isn't what they really mean.
Yeah.
What we are doing as part of our campaign, and we will be saying more about this later, is to try and get, I think I'd love to get local children to send painted butterflies to Bohinis with a message on the back saying,
right,
come on, we save our butterflies.
Okay, and that's a campaign that you're hoping to run in the future, is it? Or do you want people to be thinking about
that? We're
getting
to get that one started very quickly. At the moment, we are very much engaged. We have a major art exhibition starting on the 29th of June.
Right.
In the paper mill in Hemel,
right,
and that's taking up a lot of our time, as you
right
can imagine.
Okay, so if somebody fancied coming along to have a look at that, that's at the paper mill at Apsley,
that's
am
at
I
the
right?
The paper mill in Apsley.
Lovely.
And one other thing that might help, we are taking part in the National Save Our Meadows Day,
yeah,
and we will be having a stall in St Albans Market on the 2nd of July.
Yep.
Sorry, 1st of July. And it would be very nice if people would come and see us, and we'll probably have a petition now asking people to support the campaign to save the Miriam Rothschild Meadow,
yes,
which we will then, after that day, send to Bohinis as further indication of local support.
Brilliant. John, well, it's lovely to hear from you again. Great to hear that that your campaign is still very, very live and ongoing, and we wish you well with all of those ongoing things. John, thanks very much indeed. Thanks a lot for your help,
Amanda, as always. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I was talking there to John Horsfield of Save Butterfly World, and I'll make sure all the information about the events that John was talking about go on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website. Now, with weather like this, who needs to go to Cannes? Especially when St Albans has its very own film festival. And this year, there's a festival within a festival. Transition St Albans are organising Environmental, the Green Film Festival. Catherine Ross of Transition St Albans came in to the studio to explain. Thank you for joining me. So where did the idea for a little Green Film Festival start from then?
Do you know, we've had this idea for years. It's taken us a long time to get to this point. For a long time, we've been wanting to show bigger and better environmental films. We've had some smaller film screenings before. And then it's come together this year that we've managed to put on these three films as part of the film festival.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, then. So three films. You're showing two films, but one of them's being repeated. So let's start with A Plastic Ocean. I suppose there's a clue about the subject in the title, isn't there? But don't we know enough about plastic washing around in our oceans? Is there a bit more to it than that?
I think that what this documentary brings to it is really, really beautiful footage. So there's lovely... It's described by David Attenborough as one of the most important films of our time. It's a really groundbreaking documentary with amazing footage of the oceans and of the plastic in the oceans, and that makes it real. It brings it home in a different way.
Okay, that's interesting. And I suppose hopefully gives us a bit more of a reason to try and do something about it as well.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, the plastic in the oceans is really an international environmental catastrophe. But strangely, it's something that each of us individually contribute a little bit to. And so if we change our behaviour, then we can start to address the problem. And we're hoping that the film will reach out to an audience and make them think, I might look after my plastic bit better from now on.
That's right. I can do something about that. That's right, the idea of something being empowering. Now, your second film, Tomorrow, that does sound like an empowering film. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a really engaging, really inspiring film. So again, it's a documentary. It goes round the world and looks at lots of different communities who are doing things in their area to try and address issues around unsustainable resource usage and climate change, but doing them in a really positive way. So it's a very uplifting, very upbeat film showing people who are trying to be part of the solution in different ways in different places around the world.
Okay, so this, I mean, in some ways it's a bit of a... sort of not so good news with the fact that we've got to do all of these things. The fact that the problem of unsustainability is so big is not good. But actually, all these little good news stories from around the world about people facing up to the challenge and actually doing something effectively, that sounds, you could come out of this with a smile.
Yeah, I think it really is a must-see film. Transition St Albans, who I'm from, we try and take a really positive practical approach that says, well, if we do our bit locally, and if everyone was doing their bit locally, then it would add up and it would make a massive difference environmentally. And that's what this film is all about. It's showing groups locally doing practical things with the inspiration that, well, if we were all doing this, it would make such a difference to the world.
Okay, that sounds great. And they actually sound like, you know, quite entertaining films, the kind of thing that would be very interesting for anybody to watch, really. Can you tell us, are these films suitable for children at all?
I wouldn't have thought younger children, but Plastic Ocean, for example, we're showing at Sir John Law's secondary school in Harpenden. And I would say that both films are very much suitable for a secondary school audience.
OK, fantastic. Now, you've been able to show these films because you've had some good luck recently. Do you just want to tell us how that's come about?
Yeah, we're so pleased that this year we were selected to be part of the Dragon's Apprentice Challenge, which is a wonderful local scheme where the local St Albans CVS groups together a business, a local charity and a local secondary school, and the secondary school get together a team and they're given £100 of seed capital and they're challenged to try and fundraise and turn it into £1,000 for the charity. Right. We were really lucky to be chosen and we were linked up with Samuel Ryder and they did a brilliant job and they fundraised for us enough money that we're able to put on the Environmental Film Festival. So I'd like to give them a big shout out and say thank you.
Brilliant. Excellent. Well, that's good news. Two great films there. Are the details on the Radio Verulam What's On part of the website?
Yeah, absolutely. They're on the Radio Verulam website. They are also on the St Albans Film Festival website.
Lovely. Kathleen, thank you very much indeed. I was talking there to Catherine Ross of Transition St Albans. Now, Simon's Height is the quiet woodland between Cooper's Green Lane and Sandridge to the northeast of St Albans. And as you will have heard in previous shows, Welland and Hartfield Borough Council have proposal in their strategic local plan to allow the building of a new village on the farmland right up to the forest edge. The campaign group Save Simon's Hide, however, have not given up their fight against this. John Gardner from Save Simon's Hide joined me to explain what's happening now. John, thank you very much indeed for joining me. Now, you're holding a public meeting and the speaker is going to be a chap called Peter Wayne, the author of a book called 22 Ideas That Save the English Countryside. I mean, it sounds intriguing. Can you give us a sort of a taster of the things he's likely to be talking about?
This is looking at the history of the CPOE and the development of the Green Belt over the past 40 or 50 years. There are a number of principles that the CPOE proposed some years ago, which pretty much every government has adopted up until recently, where, of course, the pressure on the Green Belt has increased.
Yeah, yeah. OK, so quite a lively sort of history of how we've got to where we are, I suppose, Green Belt sort of planning-wise.
Both a history and, of course, looking at why it's so important and how it's actually shaped our countryside and preserved our countryside to make places like Hertfordshire the place that we like.
Yeah, lovely. So I suppose it sounds like quite an interesting meeting for people who are interested, well, obviously in your campaign about saving Simon's Hide, but also about planning in general and protecting the countryside, you know, just as a general topic.
Yes, well, we hope to make it very interesting rather than just going on again and again about Simon's Hide.
Yes.
I think there's a lot of opportunity here. We will give people an update on what's going on and what we expect to happen next.
Yes, indeed. I mean, are you expecting a good turnout for this?
Well, yes, we hope so. We've booked a hall with over 200 capacity. In fact, we can probably take a few more than that.
Yes.
It would be delightful. We've got quite a large number of members, but of course we're coming up towards the end of school, the holiday season.
Yes.
We may be subject to some people not being able to make it.
I saw that you've got about 1,500 members, is that right?
Yes, it's quite a tremendous response we've had in the relatively short time we've been involved.
Yeah.
And not only did we put in a good showing in terms of representing the members, but actually Simon's Hide was the most commented on topic within the Welland and Hatfield local plan.
OK, so you've got that public meeting, but I imagine your mind is already turned to the examination of the strategic local plan that Welland and Hatfield Borough Council have pinholed Simon's Hide for this new village for. And that's coming up sometime in the summer stroke autumn. What's your focus as far as that goes?
Well, this is going to become quite a technical issue. The plan has gone in with almost no changes after the lengthy consultation process. And we now have to make sure that we actually put our argument over in terms that actually the inspector will pay attention to. And this will become quite technical.
Yeah.
Clearly, all the people locally care about the environment and about the transport.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be the focus. We're actually going to have to go into the technical arguments to make sure that the inspector recognises the issues and recommends to the council that they make changes.
Right, OK. So this sounds like not a job for sort of activists, but more a job for somebody legally qualified.
Absolutely. You know, there are a number of enthusiastic amateurs like me.
Yes.
We've used a planning consultant to help us shape the objections that we put in the first place.
Yep.
And we would like to use him for the inspection. We don't know either exactly the date or even exactly the questions that will come up.
Yeah.
We've got some idea of how much money we will need to get this expert help in. And, of course, what we'd like from our members, again, I'm afraid, is some support in making sure that we make the best possible representation.
OK, so you're looking for cash, basically.
I'm afraid so, yes.
OK, jolly good. Well, that's great. And I suppose if people do come along to your meeting and hear the great things that Pete has to say, learn a bit more about your campaign, or the opportunity to shape it perhaps a little, but have conversations with you, and hopefully come with a bit of cash to pop in the tin, or, just to make sure that you've got the tools ready to make sure your campaign is as successful as it can be.
Absolutely. And I think the point that we want to get over is that the government inspection is really the best opportunity we have to get the council to change their minds.
Yeah.
It won't be dead if it carries on, but the odds will be badly worsened.
Right.
Now is the time to make a difference.
Okay, so if this is something that you really care about, now's the time to put your hand in your pocket.
Afraid so.
Okay, thank you very much indeed for coming and sharing that with us, John. We hope it goes really well. I was talking there to John Gardner, and I'll make sure that their Just Giving page goes on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website with the rest of the information from the show, where you can also listen at leisure to the podcast. Remember, we always love to hear from you. Tweet us at rv_environment, email us at environment@gmail.com. Next week, Radio Verulam will be with the Parents Show at the St Thomas Schools Awards, so there will be no Environment Matters. So until the same time on Wednesday, the 5th of July, thank you for listening.